Is up, everybody. Welcome to Student Visa. This is the podcast for the curious and the adventurous, those who want to experience something more. My name is Rob Salasky, and I would like to give you a huge thank you for listening. Whether you are planning to study abroad yourself, want tips for your next big trip, or are just looking to learn about an exciting new place during your daily commute, I know this podcast has something for you.
Wow, it took far too long to finally get this episode out, but it was such a blast going back and listening to this episode that I recorded with Ashby and John Wickham a year ago on Good Friday 2019 as we were driving back down from Val d'Isère after a week of skiing to Geneva. Man, it was like, obviously, as you're listening, you can tell we were having a great time in the van. None of us were driving. We were in, you know, a big van, and had a blast the whole week. And this was just a great way to kind of cap it off and reflect and, you know, talk about the good times that we had. What an amazing experience. John and Ashby, I'm sorry I took this long to get this episode out there, but here it is. I hope you were able to enjoy this just a fraction of the amount that I was able to enjoy listening to it. Hang on till the end because I have a couple announcements for you, but right now, just enjoy this episode.
Yo, what is up? Ashby and John Wickham, the Wickham brothers.
Signing on. What's going on, Rob?
Yo, what's up? Thanks for having us, my man.
Oh, yeah, for sure. So, how about you guys just introduce yourselves, talk about yourselves just for a little bit so everyone knows who you are. Ashby, we'll start with you.
All right, sounds good. What's up, everyone? My name is Ashby Wickham. I go to University of North Carolina with Rob. We actually met in our Spanish 204 class with... What was our guy's name?
Pelo Huesa.
Pelo Huesa. Great class, fantastic. Was actually sitting next to Rob watching skiing videos. We'll get into that later. It's a long story, but yeah, excited to be here. Just on a van trip down from Val d'Isère with Rob, my brother John. John, take it away.
What's up, guys? My name is John. So I go to Washington Lee University. I should not be there, but I am. So Ashby actually invited me onto this trip. We're on spring break right now, and he said, yo, I'm going to Val d'Isère from April 13th to the 20th. What's your spring break looking like? And I said, you know what? That is the same exact, dates as my spring break. So I might as well tag along and, you know, thank you guys for letting me tag along this trip. I'm sure it's been a bit much, but
you're welcome.
It has been much. Yeah, exactly.
I was gonna say, yeah, Ashby invited you. I did not invite you.
Yeah, I know. I can tell really quickly. But I've had an absolute blast and feel super blessed to be out on the snow, hanging out with you guys, drinking some beers, having a good time.
Blessed.
Very blessed. Very blessed. All right. So yeah, let's just get right into it. Let's start with kind of the background. You just said we've been here from the 13th to the 20th. So the second to last, actually, second to last week of the season here in Val d'Isère.
Penultimate. In other words.
We've been using a lot of big words on this podcast.
Yeah, so just strap in.
Just get ready. Get your dictionary
Get your dictionaries ready.
Maybe
I hope you have a good vocab.
What is it, a thesaurus?
A thesaurus like a dinosaur.
That's a dinosaur. It has to be a dinosaur.
Yo, pass me your thesaurus.
All right. Moving on.
Continue.
But yeah, so super late in the season, but like great spring skiing conditions. At least I'm not the spring skiing expert, but it seems like it's been pretty solid to me.
Phenomenal.
Yeah, late in the afternoon, you get some nice slush. You know, it was started out at what, like, right about freezing for the first day we were here.
Yeah, first couple days. Yeah,
so in the morning it's a little chilly, and then yeah, icy. Like today on our last day it was mid 40s, and when we were packing up it was literally hot in the sun down in the village. So
we're t-shirt weather.
Yeah, t-shirt weather towards the end of it. But but the only reason we're really skiing this time of year is because that's our spring break, like we all just said. And we had a lot of people tell us we got to come back for the winter here in Val d'Isère. We're teen. Because it must be amazing when they have, like, fresh powder down.
It's unreal. The thing is, there's just so much territory. There's so much area you cover. We were there for 6 days, and I want to say we accessed about 30% of the skiable.
No, that's high. I'd say, like, 15 to 20. Think about how much there is. Like, we hit maybe, like, half the lifts, maybe a third of the lifts. Think about how much access there is per lift.
That's true.
I think you had 15%, maybe.
It's pretty much three resorts in one. I mean, you have Val d'Isère, Val d'Isère.
Val d'Isère. Is that how you say it in French?
Yeah, Val d'Isère.
I think so.
Tees?
Yep.
I think it's Teen.
I was pronouncing it Teagness for the first couple days. Apparently,
not very
right.
Cultured, unfortunately.
Yeah. And then, is there one to the north? Or to the left?
Those are like the two resorts, but there's a ton of different mountains and peaks and valleys. So.
It's like taking Vail and Jackson Hole and Big Sky Montana and putting them into one package. Is it that big?
That's bold.
That was bold. I'm going to make a lot of bold predictions on this podcast.
John's got a lot of hot... You guys need to strap in for some hot takes today.
Yeah, the seats are going to be burning, baby.
All right. But, yeah, anyways, so we're here in the spring. It's massive. We barely got to touch most of the terrain because Val d'Isère and Teen are, like we said, just absolutely huge. But, yeah, so let's talk about why and how we chose Val d'Isère and Teen, Ashby.
Right, so I'll kind of tell this story just because I remember it pretty well. So we were sitting in our Spanish 204 class with Pelo Huesa. And the whole point for us taking Spanish, Rob, as y'all may know, is studying Pamplona. I'm studying in Madrid for the semester, which has been fantastic. But we have to take an additional class up to 204 in order to be able to qualify to go abroad. And so I remember the first day of class, I sit down next to Rob and... You know, I'm doing Spanish work for about the first half. Then I start pulling up some ski videos, start watching some YouTube. Rob leans over and he goes, "Hey, man, you like to ski?" I go, "Damn right I like to ski, you?" He goes, "Yeah, bro, I can't remember. You said something about, like, planks or...
I like to ski. I don't know. it wasn't the video. I didn't see you watching videos, but I saw, like, the Jackson Hole sticker on your laptop.
Oh, that's what it was.
I was like,
stick.
Ski.
That's right, kids, have stickers on your laptop. It's huge.
Don't watch YouTube videos.
Make those connections.
Yeah, and actually pay attention in class.
So I just asked you if you skied. And then I remember you talking about, yeah, we got to Jackson every year. And I was like, oh, shoot, this guy's probably next level.
I remember what it was. I say, Rob, do you like to ski? He says, oh, I like doing my fair amount of snow sliding.
Oh, really?
I was like, let's go.
That is a Rob quote if I've ever heard one. I've only known Rob for a week, but I think I have a pretty good idea what his quotes are like. And I can see you saying that immediately.
but pretty much just hit it off the first couple of classes, got to know each other, and then eventually figured out we're both going to be studying abroad. And kind of from that point, we spent some time after class, maybe the last 5 minutes, Googling best places to go ski in France. Best places to go out and have a good time in France. And
party. We like to party.
John likes to party.
Just
he
not.
Actually got laid. He can edit
you
that
can't
out.
Put that on the podcast.
It might make it.
It's like flex.
But so we both found out we were studying abroad, and kind of from first couple weeks of class, we decided we have to plan a trip to go skiing over spring break. So that's essentially how it happened.
Yeah, I think we kind of had our sights set on France pretty early on because I've heard that it's much cheaper than Switzerland and then also cheaper than Austria. And so...
And you're still accessing similar terrain because it's in the Alps.
And it's all...
Did Italy ever come into the mix? Did you ever think about going to the Italian Alps?
We never thought about Italy. Hmm. We're pretty close. Val d'Isère is pretty close to Italy, though.
Yeah, it is.
The pizza in Val d'Isère, phenomenal. Phenomenal pizza.
I had lots of za.
We only ate pizza pretty much the entire trip.
I would say 60% of our calories, honestly.
Say 70% of meals.
70% of our calories came from pizza.
At least after 3 p.m. Yeah. No, actually before 3 p.m. Dude, I had a whole pizza for breakfast this morning.
So that's where my pizza went.
Okay. Yeah, I ate it.
Oh,
thank
the truth
you.
Comes out.
Pizza and love. If you're ever in Val d'Isère, pizza and love.
No, it's pizza and like
no.
The N apostrophe.
But it's
N apostrophe.
P-I-Z-Z.
Oh, no,
and
what?
Love. As in peace and love.
Oh.
That's so clever. I never picked up on that.
Peace and love. Because like the whole hippie thing.
Oh, that's very selective seeing on my part.
That
makes selective
so
perception.
Much sense. Yeah. Wow. Great marketing.
Great marketing.
But we didn't pick up on it. So is it great marketing? I don't know.
Maybe it might just be us.
I think it is just us.
But who knows?
Dang pizza, though. Really dang pizza here.
So
great
good.
Pizza.
So
good.
What was the best slice of pizza you had in Bonacera? If anyone comes to Bonacera, where would you say
that's a good question. I think you have to hit peace and love.
Yeah.
Peace and love is huge. There's a little like $5 slice place.
It's a rip off.
Now, but the slices
but
are
it,
fat.
And
they're fat
also,
slices.
Also late night. Like
late
they're,
night.
They're open late night. We're heading back from Cocoa Rico.
You have a beer
for you,
too.
Yeah.
You might want a slice. €5 might seem like not that much at the time.
For the Benny's people, I would liken it to an Italian style Benny's.
Yeah. At ski resort prices.
Yeah.
But Pizza and Love was a great deal, though.
Full pie. They put some black olives on there.
Well, who was that? So there was one other guy on the trip with us, Juan, a friend of Ashby.
Yes, Juan. Another story about Juan. I would like to say here that, you know, if you can express your interest to your fellow classmates, I promise you, you'll be able to find someone who has a similar interest, who likes the same stuff as you do. Point in case. Rob M. Sewell here, Rob Schmuel. I thought it was his Instagram handle for a while. I was wrong. And then my friend Juan Loretta, who I actually just met 2 weeks ago in one of my classes at IE University in Madrid, and kind of same thing. Saw stickers on my computer, saw me watching ski videos, asked if I liked to ski. We kind of hit it off, and he ended up spending half of the week with us in Val d'Isère, skiing around, going to dinner, having a good time. So.
Who's that guy he recommended? There was that one guy he was always talking about, the pizza
maker.
Oh, what was his name? Jean-Paul. Every time we'd see Juan after he grabbed a pizza, he goes, yo, just picked up a pizza for my boy, Jean-Paul. Jean-Paul hooked me up.
Yeah.
So if you're ever in Bonacera looking for pizza, go to Jean-Paul at Pizza and Love.
Is that where you went?
Yeah.
I think Jean-Paul was at a different spot.
No, there's two Pizza and Loves in Bonacera.
Oh, yeah, they have two shops there.
That makes sense. That's
like
the main pizza place.
That makes sense. Because whenever he brought pizza, it'd be the same kind.
Same box.
Yeah.
And little did you know, they actually delivered there.
No.
Yeah, they did.
I saw that.
Yeah.
I saw that.
Where I was saying they delivered a couple times.
All right, cool.
Yeah.
Dope.
But, all right. Yeah, so pizza is great. Let's talk about the skiing. We already talked about how. Or, you know what, not the skiing. Let's talk about just the daily routine for this past week. So one thing that I'll say, like, kind of surprised me in a great way is that with spring skiing, you don't have the pressure to get up because
it's beautiful.
It's going to be icy in the morning anyways.
Bulletproof.
So you have to wait until it softens up, which means
10, 11 is when it starts to get soft.
So that means there's not the pressure to, like, you know, get out and get the first chair because you can just cruise on up at 10:30, like you said, and have, you know, the first tracks in actual soft snow.
That's kind of the dilemma about spring skiing.
Right.
It softens up in the afternoon, it gets super soft, and then overnight when the temperatures drop, it hardens so it becomes almost bulletproof and icy.
Yeah.
And that's no fun to ski. No one likes skiing on ice, except if you're from the East Coast.
Or Jack Frost.
Yeah, Jack Frost likes to ski on ice.
And Robert Frost, poet.
Also Frozone.
Frozone.
Frozone likes ice.
Yeah.
Dude, if so I could
a
be...
A select few.
Yeah.
A select few.
Select
not
few
not most people. Your normal human doesn't like it.
If I could be a superhero, I'd be Frozone.
Frozone would be pretty sick.
Frozone would be sick.
Oh, dude. Also, do you remember Static Shock?
Oh, yeah. He was sick.
Yeah, Static Shock.
I don't.
Oh,
you never watched
Static
Shock?
No.
Dude.
Straight up, though, if I had to be a superhero, probably be Iron Man. Iron Man's kind of got it all.
He has no superpowers.
He's super smart.
Yeah. But that's not a superpower.
Yes,
though.
It is, dude. Look
at
his
suit.
I'd be a superhero.
And
he kills it.
He's chilling. Okay. All right.
Okay.
He's
that's
killing
hot take.
He's killing it. All right. Sorry. We got it.
I agree.
Iron Man.
That's a great thing to discuss in any podcast.
But Frozone likes morning skiing during the spring. However, the average human, as Ashby said, is all about the afternoon because it's the second best thing to powder. Powder is sweet. Powder is like heaven's dust. Secondly, though, spring skiing, the snow gets super soft, so when you eat it, which we do a lot, you don't get hurt. It's beautiful. However, on ice, you eat it, it kills.
It hurts,
is absolutely brutal.
Yeah. Waits.
So that's why you wait for the afternoon. Have a big night out, sleep in a little, get the best snow. It's the best of both worlds. Everyone wins. Everyone's happy.
Yeah, I'm just going to plug Rob for a sec here. Great at getting up. Got me up on time most days, even though I know it was a challenge.
He was the adult on the trip, for sure.
He was the adult on the trip, 1,000%. Also, making breakfast in the morning, game changer.
I had to get you out at some point.
I didn't eat every day till like 5 o'clock.
Why did you not get breakfast?
Dude, I made some fried eggs and prosciutto this morning.
I did donut. I had a donut 2 days on the mountain, and I like one morning had like a candy bar and a Margina, if that counts. I eat like a child. My mom tells me I really need to grow up sometimes.
I had an Orangina and a Snickers.
Also.
No, wait. Actually, this is another random hot take, but you ate a Mars bar.
I did.
Mars bars are good.
I'm not crazy about
what's in a Mars bar?
It's like a knockoff Snickers. It's like the European Snickers. That is what it is. It is a European Snickers.
But it doesn't have peanuts in it.
You know what it's like? It's if what's that candy I'm thinking? The Three Musketeers and the Snickers had a baby. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah, but it doesn't have nuts in it though.
No.
As much as I know you like nuts.
Yeah, funny. But like if a Snickers bar and a Three Musketeers had babies. And the babies did not get the genotype of nuts, and that's
from,
what a mom.
They picked that up from the Three Musketeer mom.
Exactly.
It's like a woman.
How do you get to that?
It doesn't have nuts.
That was clever. Okay, on top. Right, but okay. So like Mars bar, not great. However, if you are ever in Europe.
Smarties.
No, Smarties delicious, Maltesers delicious, but in France, not to get off topic, to kind of bring it back in, Orangina. The nectar of the gods is the best soda. It's not too sweet. It has a perfect amount of fizz. It's a great mixer if you ever like to add a little something else to it. But if not, though, it's perfect on its own.
It's great. It's a fantastic drink. It's phenomenal. Candy-wise, though, to take us back off topic, Smarties. Not the candy tart Smarties, but the chocolate Smarties. They have a delicious outer kind of flavored shell with just melt-in-your-mouth chocolate on the inside. They're like M&M's.
Not chocolate on the outside?
No. It's like better. To me, it's not for everyone. You know, it's not for everyone. It's like jazz. Not for everyone. But
jazz is for everyone. If you don't like jazz, come on.
No, not everyone likes jazz. It's like country music. Country music's not for everyone.
Okay,
but there's
fair.
A time and a place, and everyone can enjoy it at some point, and I recommend that you try it.
Smarties,
not country music. Country music, too.
But no. Smarties are like the M&M's cooler older brother. And a great mountain snack, too. Because they don't come in like a little packet, or they don't come in the like M&M's wrapper. What they do is they come in a tube. So it's much more rigid, and it's much more concealable. You can put it in any pocket.
Yeah.
And on top of that,
I don't know what the concealable
part. It's more packable, is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah, it's more packable. No, it's more concealable. Yeah, exactly.
Why do you need to conceal your Smarties?
Because I don't want to share my Smarties.
Okay.
They're delicious.
Oh, all right. That's a good point.
Hot take.
You don't want to share your Smarties, too. But sharing is caring. And if you share your Smarties, that shows you truly care about someone.
That you really care about someone. Like, really, really care
I don't
about
even them. Share my Smarties with my brothers.
Oh.
Ouch.
No, I care about them, though, deeply.
It's true.
But I don't know. True. Yeah, I don't know if it's Smarties deeply. I love you, Ashley.
Okay. Me too, John.
Thank you.
All right. Anyways, so we have some sort of breakfast, whether it be a candy bar in Orangina or actually...
Candy bar and Orangina.
Yeah, wait. What did I say?
Or Orangina.
Oh.
Gotta have them together.
Candy bar and Orangina.
Let the man talk.
Candy bar and That's just a mouthful.
And/or.
So is the Smarties and Orangina.
Okay, so we don't have breakfast sometimes. Rob usually cooking up some eggs.
I have to have it. Yeah, I gotta have some breakfast.
And then
we make it out by like, 10:30.
The average 10:30?
That's probably the average.
I'd say 11.
All right,
my average is probably 10:30.
Yeah. Right. My average is closer to 11.
No, you're more towards 12. I was at 11. I was the happy medium.
I've heard it both ways.
All right, so somewhere in the 11-ish
range.
And then, basically by then, the snow is soft, especially on the side that is facing the sun. You can still find some ice that late in the day, especially like those first 2 days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, it's just colder.
It's colder.
Yeah.
It's cold. Gotta follow the sun.
Gotta follow the sun, you know?
Sun is fun.
Speaking of which. And we basically not stopped for lunch. I guess a couple of days we stopped.
Got a quick snack.
But
pretty much just went 11 to 3:34
yep.
every day.
Yep.
Wow. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, we're beasts.
I'm not. You are.
No, we did.
We did. Yeah. That was shocking.
But we got to talk about, was it just the first 2 days that we went to Foula Douce?
We're trying to figure out the name.
Foula Douce.
Foula
Douce. No, not douche.
Douce.
I thought they were saying douche the entire time.
No, Foula Douce.
Oh, that's why I got confused. Looks like I giggle every time I ask someone where it was.
Yeah, just quick plug. This guy's 22 years old, so I mean,
jeez. I wanted that to be a secret to the podcast. I was hoping you would find out.
Now they know. Yeah. Which it pretty much was a club side or a hillside club.
Mountainside club.
And you go up a certain lift, then about halfway down the run, you hear this house music just pulsating. And usually Eye of the Tiger remixed in some way.
Yeah.
Every time we're there, we heard Eye of the Tiger. Also, a recently popular song, Losing It. That goes, I'm losing it. I'm sure y'all know it. Anyway. But yeah, so pretty much the first time we're there, we're like, where is this place? How do we get there? And like I said, we're skiing down. We see this mass of people at this bar on the side of the hill and this club music playing. There's this dude in a top hat running around
like
singing and singing in like a sequence.
They got a guy in a
suit, half dress.
It was a full-on production.
It was.
So they have the MC in the top hat, who is a very interesting character.
There are multiple times
you
he
have,
goes, I want to...
calling people out by name. Like, not by name, but pointing at them.
Yeah.
It was intense.
It was sensual.
Let's just say he was
honest,
a passionate man.
Very European.
He's a passionate
man.
Very open,
passionate.
Yeah, I love it. It was inspiring, really.
Yeah, we should all live like that.
Yeah.
Maybe
like
not
Larry.
Exactly like that.
I'd live like him.
Not exactly like that.
Dude, you should take some fashion notes from
cookies.
I love cookies. Plugged up by McVitie's. Great cookie.
Oh, yeah. This podcast is sponsored by McVitie's. Sables Angeles. They're like chocolate-covered cookies. That's all I got to say about them.
They're actually digestive cookies, fun fact.
Really?
Yep.
High in fiber?
McVitie's are high in fiber digestive.
Fantastic. But, no, this place was awesome. You got people dancing on tables.
Yep.
You know, great house music. The DJ was absolutely killing it. And just super fun atmosphere. You know, kids from, you know, you got 10-year-olds dancing on tables. You got 45-year-olds dancing on tables.
Everything in between. Yeah.
And everything in between. Great, great young scene. It was just awesome. Great energy, great vibes at this place.
Awesome. Rob, you were talking about it being a production. Do you want to kind of tell, enlighten the people
honestly,
about like the combination of things? Like,
yeah.
Because every time we were there, Rob goes, dude, these singers are amazing. Like, these people are so talented, which they really were, which people didn't really realize until you like stopped and really saw what was going on.
I was super impressed with the musicians there because, yeah, we had the MC who was kind of, he was singing every now and then. There was like two legit female vocalists. There's a couple other dancers.
Saxophone,
a live saxophone.
Saxophone, my favorite by far.
Yeah, he was an absolute stud. The live DJ. And then you had the trapeze artist. The girl
right.
who was like...
You're right.
She was on a ring at one point. She was on like...
What are the...
Tissue?
Satin things?
Yeah, I think it's called tissue.
Is it called tissue?
No, actually.
Chew.
Think I got the bird flu.
Well, anyways, she was like a trapeze, not trapeze.
I think that's
what's
she was
the
an
word?
Aerial dancer.
Aerialist.
Like on that Cirque du Soleil shit.
Yeah, that's
exactly.
Yeah.
That's why.
It was unbelievable. And they were like, the DJ's mixing up all this, like these sick mashups, like, and it wasn't just like play a song and then like fade into something else. It was like he was mixing. And then, and they were just like kind of making their own cover at like on the spot. Like the vocalist would come in, the saxophone would like
you know,
play a little riff here and
there. Yeah, yeah. The saxophone was so tasteful. It was so tasteful.
Super tasteful. Medium and saxophone is a beautiful combination.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was the most unique bar. Yeah.
I think that's the most unique
bar. Well, and the best part about that place was it would shut down at, I don't know, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock?
It went 3 to 5.
3 to 5.
And then last song, everyone's got their, so you're still halfway up the mountain. So you got to ski down. You got to figure out some way to get down. So
no matter how many pitchers you've had.
Oh, yeah. You got to find your way down.
It's kind of funny to watch them.
On ski. So at 5 o'clock, they go, this is our last song. We'll see you tomorrow. Everyone goes crazy.
They play the
And then everyone has to pop on their skis and ski down the mountain, probably, I want to say, like 1,000 vertical feet at least.
It was a solid run.
It was a solid run down the mountain.
It is wildly irresponsible.
It was
wildly,
oh my god!
I don't know how they haven't gotten a lawsuit yet.
That's France, dude.
You have a bunch of drunk people on the mountain trying to ski down.
But it's just US. Huge, huge party lap on down. I mean, so much fun. People hooting, hollering, just having the time of their lives.
Such a party lap.
Yeah.
You can feel the party on the snow.
Yeah. It's just the vibes are outrageous.
Yep. Going down and you see a Teletubby race by you.
Oh, yeah.
From the bar.
A squad of six bananas ski by you.
Like, where would dress up for it, too? People would dress up and look ridiculous. I mean, it was like a European music festival on the side of a mountain with a bunch of drunk 45-year-olds. It was a beautiful sight. It truly was.
It was like divine, almost.
Honestly, you could go
there. I think I saw God.
Dude, to be honest, you could honestly go there and, like, not worry about anything. Like, there's no judgment up there.
Yeah, there really is no judgment.
You hear these three corny, skinny, white American dudes. Race doesn't matter. But here are three skinny American dudes that can't dance on top of a table with pitchers of beer.
Yeah, John's jealous. I'm a great dancer.
I'm a terrible dancer. And no one cared. And it was beautiful.
I thought you looked good. You had some rhythm.
Thank you. I appreciate
that. Just bounce at the right time.
Yeah, you had some rhythm. Rob has some phenomenal dance moves.
I don't know if y'all have seen Hitch. Keep it in the box.
Keep it in the box.
Keep it in the box. Unless you got the Q-tip down or the pizza.
But you got to keep it on the table. I'm surprised no one fell off a table.
I'm shocked no one fell off a table.
I thought someone was going to eat shit at some point. There are drunk people in ski boots on tables.
It has to happen.
This is going to be a disaster.
It has to happen. This is my initial thought to you. I was like, no way people aren't falling off.
But at Coco Rico, people were eating shit. But
okay.
That's a story for
me. Okay,
yeah. So we make it down the mountain.
Make it down the
party
mountain.
Party lap.
Party lap.
Get to our place. Basically throw off the boots, maybe have something to eat real quick, but then shortly after
so
we had to...
Peas and Love, Peas and Love was 2 minutes.
In between this like middle period?
We actually got our calories from things other than Orangina, candy bars, and beer.
Yeah.
No wonder I was so drunk the entire time.
Peas and Love was right next to our apartment.
Okay. So... What we
basically
go down,
just throw off the ski boots, maybe put on a pair of jeans.
So nice. We would just sit. We'd sit. Rob and I had a little bench outside of our apartment. We're on the first floor, just unload our stuff, take our gear off, sit on the bench, and just soak up the sun for a solid 30-45 minutes.
Got a really cool Airbnb.
Yeah, that was sweet.
And the cool thing about it there too is the bus runs from literally throughout the entire town. So
yeah, free bus.
Literally, you don't have to worry about getting anywhere. You either can access everywhere by the bus. And everything from the bus is, every bus stop is like a 5 minute walk. Like they have a ridiculous amount of bus stops for the size of the town.
Yeah.
So like there's minimal walking. And two, everything's accessible by skiing. Like you can literally, I could ski from my place to your place.
Yeah, if you really need to.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it's like FedEx. They heart logistics, you know? They heart logistics.
It's kind of crazy.
Have a quick breather after the ski day.
Foile de douche.
Not foile douche.
No.
What I thought of.
Foile de douche.
And then, Coco Rico.
Coco Rico.
Coco Rico typically ran from like, what?
So
5 to 9?
5 to 8.
5 to 8. And then the last day was on Wednesday, and they went, I want to say like 5 to 10 at least.
Go.
11.
11?
11? I left a little bit earlier.
Why did you leave earlier, John?
I was just feeling it.
All right.
It was just time for me to go. Sometimes, you know, it's time for you to go and you got to go.
Fair enough.
Rob had to go to the bathroom. He had to go.
Yep, I did.
Separated from the group.
Yeah. Anyways, so Coco Rico is normally the move from like 5 to 8.
I'd have to say that was the coolest bar I've ever been to. I'm going to go ahead and say the hot take. That is the most fun bar.
Really?
There was only a group of three of us. We didn't know anyone there. Like, if we had a big group, could you imagine if there was a big group of guys and girls there, how wild that would be?
Yeah, that'd be crazy.
But the fact that there were only three of us and we had that much fun there really speaks.
Definitely says something about the atmosphere of Val d'Isere, about... And the cool thing about Val d'Isere is you got people from all over the place. You got
a lot
bunch
of British people.
British people, Australians, French. You know, you hear Spanish being tossed around. There was a there's actually a Pamplona flag right across from our Airbnb.
Yeah. Talked to some people from Pamplona.
We skied with an American one day. Jules.
Yeah.
That was
sick. Jules American.
Jules Moore.
Dude, shredded. Absolutely shredded.
Of course. Yeah,
got some right. Got some nerve damage that day, I think. But
rest in peace.
Rest in
right
peace.
Pinky.
Ashby's
left pinky.
Yeah.
Right pinky.
Left
pinky.
Yeah, right.
Right.
It's my dominant hand.
You can't write anymore.
Oh, puns on puns.
You ain't feeling right. But it's okay, though. We'll see how you tell mom and dad about that one. But anyways, though, Coco Rico, how would you describe the atmosphere of Coco Rico?
The main thing for me is just the absolute best DJ I've ever heard.
Bangers.
In my life.
Bangers.
Absolute bangers.
Yeah. And it's not like he was mixing very much. It was just like the best lineup
song
of songs.
Dude, he played the Game of Thrones theme song in the middle of the like night one night.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice.
He played like, it went Viva La Vida to Game of Thrones theme song to some super popular 80s pop song, and it was just the smoothest transition.
Yeah.
And a DJ makes a party.
Yeah.
I really,
really
believe that.
Yeah. No, the DJ was absolute fire. It didn't, like, there was no, it wasn't a genre. It wasn't like a decade.
It was
just
all
like
over the place.
All bangers.
All bangers.
At no point was anyone
strictly
ever standing still or just talking. Literally everyone there was dancing the entire time.
It's true.
They were either dancing or chugging. It was either way.
Really, it's true.
They had all these barrels that you could stand on.
Yep.
And it was fun. Talk about people eating shit.
Yep.
Coco Rico is when...
Yeah.
I know I said shit a couple times, but that's when shit really hit the fan. Like, you would see people just eat it off the barrels.
Yeah.
And they just pop back up and, like, kick their tan shoes
rage
right
on.
Back on. Rage right on. Survive in advance. It was crazy.
Like I said, I think I saw God there.
Actually, it's Good Friday.
Oh, damn, you're right.
Fine. It's okay.
But.
My bad.
Going back onto that, though. The Coco Rico bar, if there's ever a bar you have to see before the end
you have to go
of your
to
20s, end of your 20s or your life, but if you go there in your 20s, though, you will not regret it. I mean, it was wild.
Yeah.
It was wild.
It was awesome.
And, dude, they're like, the last day, so we lucked out and we actually got to go to Coco Rico on the last day. It's closing
of
day.
Of the season.
Of the season. That's why it was open so late. Apparently, it's open late
sunset.
On Wednesdays anyways. But, oh, wow, that is a gorgeous sunset. And you'll learn real quick in this podcast that I have ADD. I'll go off topic real quick. But back to Coco Rico, though, everyone was dressed up in, like, French berets, and the bartenders were sitting on top of the bar.
The bartenders were, like, yeah, they were up on
the
crossbeam or whatever.
Yeah, they were on the crossbeam above the bar. People were dancing. There was this little Japanese guy with a painted mustache on with this, like, little swan. It was an inflatable swan that he held his beer in. He was there every day, actually.
Every day.
He was
He stood about, what? 4.5 feet tall.
Yeah, he might have lived there.
Yeah, you couldn't have missed this guy. He was a fan favorite for sure. He just go up and hug people.
For no reason.
Every time I saw him, I was just like, hug me, brother.
Yeah, he's the kind of guy where like you just saw him, but you want to hug him like he's your favorite uncle that you never get to see. You're
like your
yo.
Niece. He was so humble.
Or your niece.
That was dark.
Why is that dark?
It's just kind of weird.
It was weird.
I don't know about dark. Totally strange.
By taking it to that dark place, Sean, you made it.
I did make it dark. My apologies for that. That was actually completely platonic. If I say dark, it makes it dark. Think about it, though. You could say a lot of things. Like, someone could be like, oh, I need to go to
bro,
the bathroom.
I had
you could just be like, dark.
Bro,
like,
I had this hamburger for lunch today. That's dark.
Yeah.
What was the hamburger made of? I don't know. This is the dark in class.
Human flesh.
Okay. All right.
Dark.
Dark.
You can really run with this.
Oh my gosh.
Little Coco Rico.
And so we didn't go to Coco Rico and Foie de Douce
every day.
Because
no.
We went to Coco Rico every day.
No, we didn't.
We
When was, which day did we watch the whole season of Barry one night?
Oh,
that was that
last two nights. We did not go. Because Thursday, it was
Donna Wednesday. Wednesday, Thursday. Today's Friday. No, last night.
Yeah.
Today's Friday.
We also did go on like Tuesday.
We're driving back to Geneva.
Yeah.
No, we did go Tuesday. We definitely went Tuesday.
We didn't go every night.
It was a blur. This trip has been a blur. I think there was a singular night where we did not go out. That was Thursday.
Okay, so after Coco Rico, final place we went was this little British bar called Blue Note, which had a dartboard, which we definitely took advantage of, played a lot of darts.
That was the place to be
night,
for a chill vibe. We went twice, at least.
Went twice, yeah.
When did y'all go for the second time?
It's not that you didn't do anything. You didn't come out. No, you met us later for food.
Oh, yeah.
At the restaurant, and we went to the burger place.
Right.
It was that night.
Did we go to Coco Rico that night?
No.
So we did not go
Tuesday.
Two out.
Yeah.
But we went to the Fall of Douche that day.
We did. We did do that.
And then we skied down. Right. You're right. You're totally right. Yep. Okay, wow.
You think we? So how are we going to take this?
Yeah, you can ask. I mean, do you want you to be?
I don't know. Like.
Okay. Back to the podcast. Back to the podcast.
When we finish this, I'll.
He's holding his pee for the sake of the podcast.
For
save the pee for the podcast, baby.
For you guys. I do it for you guys.
Do it for the people.
For the listeners. Okay. So, yeah, Blue Note. That's a place to be for, you know, just a relaxed kind of chill night, but, you know, grabbing a beer with your buddies, playing some darts. They actually had a great beer selection that I appreciate.
You love that beer selection.
Well, okay,
man.
not a huge.
That's that Asheville blood.
But, like, they had some beers that weren't just, like, Heineken, you know.
Do they know you're an IPA guy on this podcast yet? Have you told them about your love of beers? Because I really, when I saw it, Rob was so pumped for this beer. He's like,
tastes good.
Taste this beer. It was a good beer. But I was like, yo, they have like all this other beer. Like, we've been drinking beer all trip. He's like, but not this kind of beer. You know it's an IPA guy. We're like, it's
I don't know.
This
I just like something different, you know?
Yeah, I like to mix it up. He's a man of culture and taste.
John's a Pilsner guy. He's got thrills for the pills, you know what I'm saying?
Am I a Pilsner guy? What is a Pilsner?
So.
I don't really know beer. I'll just,
that's someone who's
you just
like
remind
shot.
Me of the dude that Amy Santiago goes out with in Brooklyn Nine-Nine that's really into Pilsner.
I feel like that's an insult. Is that a mean insult?
Dude,
yeah.
if you get to date Amy Santiago, insult.
Yeah, well,
not a low-key chirp.
But I'm not dating Amy Santiago in reality. I'm dating no one in reality. It's been a rough go, man. But that's another conversation for another podcast. Dark, exactly.
Dark.
That's going to become a motif in this podcast. Dark. Just whenever he says
it. It's like the show we've been watching, Barry. Barry's a fantastic
Barry.
Show.
We took one night off. Like, I'm telling you, the skiing has really taken out of me. Like, we really got after it.
Yeah.
If you think about it. Like, a lot of skiing.
The heavy
lot of,
snow doesn't help.
Yeah, a lot of extracurricular activities. It, like, the combination of that, too. When we were watching Barry last night, like, you were passed out on the couch by 10.
Yeah.
You were too.
Yeah, I was too.
We were both kind of just like curled up.
I
passed
got to get
out. Yeah. Knocked out.
Whew. But we made it, boys. We
did make
it.
What time are we at right now?
40 minutes.
All right.
I'll edit this down. But. All right, let's just kind of wrap things up.
Time to wrap up. So that's
let's talk about.
So Ash, we can go pee.
Let's talk about some tips, like some. You know, if we were to do it again,
we're about to get serious on you.
What would you recommend people do? So I think for starters, let's just talk about getting to Val d'Isère. So I'm in Pamplona, which is, I think by car, no more than 8 hours away.
Okay, that's actually entirely false. Looked it up and it's about 15 hours from Pamplona to Val d'Isère and about an hour less to Geneva. So don't listen to me. Don't listen to anything I say. Not sure where I got those original numbers from, but that was wrong. Either way, 15 hours in the car would actually not be that much worse or might be better than my mode of transportation. I went from a like 5-hour bus ride, if I remember correctly. It was a painful bus ride that had a connection in there from Pamplona to Barcelona, and then a really, really early flight. Like, it was an overnight bus to early flight. It was painful.
So I would reconsider and still, even though it was 15 hours away, I would reconsider and think about driving with some friends and making more of a trip out of that than just a boring bus ride and plane ride. So yeah, back to the episode.
And I cannot stress this enough. If you have a chance to rent a car instead of flying, one, you will thank yourself for being able to check out all of the scenery in between point A to point B. And two, you get to bump all the tunes you want with your friends, have a good time, have a great conversation.
True.
Maybe record a podcast if you want. Who knows?
You can split it up on the way as well.
Yeah, you can split it up and you just kind of get to see a lot more throughout the trip. And it's also very cheap to rent cars here, especially on websites like Sixt.com. It's really good for renting cars.
And how do you spell that?
S-I-X-T.
Sixt.
Yeah.
It's like the sixth, but without the H. Sixt.
Nice. Yep, John reads above a fourth grade level.
I read at a sixth grade level.
Yeah, but I mean, it's just so fun. I'm sure a bunch of you have like taken road trips, and it's just so fun being able to experience a new part of the country and see everything in between one destination to another. And it's cheap, it's easy, and I think it's more fun.
It's worth it.
Yeah,
and you can take your skis. You don't have to worry about that.
Yep.
It's a game changer. We should have drove.
If I did it again, I would definitely drive, rent a car. You guys could drive up from Madrid to Pamplona, and then we'd cruise through the Pyrenees, cruise through the south of France, and then get up here in the Alps and have spent probably maybe less money, a little more time. But less money. And enjoyed the journey a lot more.
So again, time is money, though.
Time is money. So you got to calculate that in there.
Milton Friedman.
But
NoHo Hank is smarter than Milton Friedman, though.
But here, catch this up. So, right, I would have driven, but it depends on your time frame, actually. So,
yeah. So for spring break, it's perfect.
I took economics. I did. I'm not going to tell you what grade I got, but I took it, and I learned a thing or two.
C minus.
It was a C plus, but okay, whatever. Anyways, the marginal utility, so I flew in for spring break, and flying in was actually great because I feel like I really got to maximize the time on the slopes.
Right.
But in y'all's situation, what I think would have been ideal, the top of the thing was, I think if I could have flown in and you guys would have driven in.
Yeah.
It just depends how far you are.
Yeah.
If it makes sense to drive, if it's within, 6 to 8 hours maybe, and it makes sense and you have a companion to do it, absolutely go for it.
Yeah.
However, if you're too far away and it's too much of a hassle to drive, don't force it. It's not worth it. If driving's really going to cut out a serious chunk of your skiing time, don't do it. Fly. But if you're going to drive and it's going to save you some money and not cut out that much time, there's a high marginal utility. It's all about the utils. Take the utils when you get them.
I'm big on utils as well. I'll also say financially, and this just goes for the study abroad experience, we booked this trip very early. I think we figured it out in January. We're here in April now.
Yeah.
And when you study abroad, you don't need to stress about booking stuff too early because everyone's plans change and
you make new friends.
You make new friends. There are a lot of moving parts. But when you can lock something down, I highly recommend that you do.
Yep.
Because the accommodation becomes a lot cheaper, the travel becomes a lot cheaper, and you can use the money you save there to, spend money on a nice meal, to go do something cool, do a cool activity like skiing, buy that extra pitcher of beer at the bar.
Exactly.
But you don't need to stress about locking stuff down too early, but when you can lock it down, I recommend that you don't procrastinate.
Pull the trigger.
Yeah. If you know you're going to
shoot your shot in life,
shoot your shot on the trip.
Send it. Just send it.
Lick the stamp
and send it, baby.
Hell yeah.
Life motto's right there.
Yeah.
Also, one last quick note about road trips versus flying. In Europe, a road trip is far more eventful than in the US because it's so much more dense.
Yes, that is true.
And the roads go through legit cities and towns, and especially in Spain. I've noticed it just like driving in any direction for an hour, you're going to see like four castles, go through like two cool villages.
Where have you driven from in Spain?
We've gone from Pamplona down to Valencia. all along the way. We stay off the major roads that take tolls, so we just go on like toll free roads.
Right.
And
does Google have that? Do they have a toll free ride?
Yeah. Yep.
Days? No way.
Yep. And
the power technology.
Yeah, and so did you? You see so much, especially in Spain, and like on this 3 hour drive, I think like we've seen quite a bit, and like
it's been beautiful.
Yeah, it's been
great
awesome.
Sunset.
So, yeah, I think road trips are way more exciting and eventful
in
Europe
buses
than in the U.S. Buses are painful but very affordable. So
sometimes you got to do it.
Sometimes you got to do it. So yeah. Anyways, that's our main piece of advice. I think spring skiing was great for a spring break. Not the best skiing in the world because, you know, like powder, fresh snow is going to be better. But we got some good party snow. Had some
good
times.
Fantastic times.
It was an awesome trip. It was a trip of a lifetime.
Trip of a lifetime.
Great company, too. Make sure you're going with people you like.
Got to go with some homies.
People that are on the same page, too. Because nothing's worse than going on a trip where people fundamentally disagree about things, whether it's where you eat or, like, if you're going to eat out. Or, you know, if you're going to go out that night, like,
yeah.
Try to go with agreeable people because agreeable people make the trip fun. I honestly believe that. I really do. And if you're going to be a trip companion, be as, like, agree. Like, try to do what the group wants to do.
Yeah.
And try to find a common ground with everyone. It's like, what does everyone else want to do? Because it's everyone's trip. It's not just one kid's trip or it's not just someone else's trip. It's everyone's trip. It's everyone's experience. And you want to share the experience to the best of your ability.
Before I let you guys go, got a few questions that I ask everybody.
Ashby needs to go.
So you guys can both answer these questions. Number one, favorite place you've ever visited and why?
Sheesh. Wow. I ain't gonna let me say about it there.
Really?
I really am. I love skiing. It's just one of my passions.
Even more than Jackson?
It's hard to say. That's a really tough question.
Yeah.
I like everything for... This has been my favorite. You know what? I'm going to kind of re-ask the question to make it easier for me to answer because there truly isn't one place that I've enjoyed more than another. They've all just been different experiences and it's hard to categorize it
yeah.
as a favorite. I'm going to say for a spring break trip, Val d'Isère has been the most fun I've ever had on spring break. Without a doubt.
Boom. Oh, man. I'm honored.
Ashby, what's...
Favorite place I visited? I think, John, you nailed it by saying that everywhere you go is so unique, so different. I definitely put Val d'Isère up there on my spring break trips. Yeah, I think that's also one of the beautiful things about studying abroad is you go to all these different places and you just get a little different experience at each place. So, for example, I went to... town called Cuenca that's about an hour outside of Madrid and had a phenomenal time, was with some friends that I haven't really seen in a long time, got to catch up, and that was really special to me, just as being in Val d'Isère for spring break was really special to me in a different way. And I think everywhere you visit offers something a little different, and that's why, you know, I'd really encourage anyone, whether it's taking an hour road trip outside of your city or doing a big trip to the mountains or the beach somewhere, to really just kind of go for it and try it out, because everywhere is going to offer something a little different. The people you're with is going to offer something a little bit different. And yeah, it's just, I don't know. It's just a tough question to answer. Because
why you travel.
Yeah, that's why you travel.
Yeah. Well, you guys definitely did not answer the question.
No,
you
know, we
I'll
did not.
I'll let you off the hook.
We did not answer that question.
You're a real patron saint.
All right, question number two. What is one thing from your hometown that people do or people have they don't really have or do elsewhere, but they should?
Oh, good question.
North Carolina barbecue. No, that's not.
That's the other way around.
That's heinous. Wait, something from
something. That's a legit answer.
Wait, something from our hometown that they need here?
Yeah, hometown.
Yeah, North Carolina barbecue in Val d'Isère. Be game changer.
Or just like all over the world. Doesn't have to be Val d'Isère. Just like...
They got
Carolina barbecue.
I think politeness.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Manners. Southern hospitality.
Yeah.
Val d'Isère can use a little Southern hospitality.
Yeah. Yeah.
French people are dicks.
You can't say
rephrase that.
Okay. Okay. I will say I think that I don't know. I that's another thing that's just the beauty of traveling abroad. You're experiencing different cultures, and no one's going to really have the same outlook on life that you do. So, you know, for example, in Spain, you're not going to ask someone how they are, kind of like you do in the U.S., unless you really want to know.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to ask you, hey, how's your day going, kind of like I would walking into a store in the U.S., unless I really want to know. And that's just something that's different. I don't know if it's better or worse.
Would you just say hello?
Yeah, pretty much.
Hi.
Yeah, you don't say how are you.
You're not going to like ask what's up unless you really want to know, kind of.
Yep.
So have you ever inadvertently been like, what's up? So we start telling you like, no, I didn't want this.
No, normally like you say, hola, ¿qué tal? And they just don't say anything.
Oh, really?
Like,
not even a little bit.
They're like, this person doesn't want to know my
day. Or they just kind of look confused.
Bingo.
But yeah, so let's talk about French culture. I think the best way to put it is by American standards, especially being from the South, French people are rude, going off of our standards.
Yeah.
However, they have a completely different culture where they just like, it's not normal to be nice, I guess. Like, I don't know.
It's just very different, you know. Everywhere you go, the people are going to be a little bit different. And I think at the end of the day, instead of getting frustrated and instead of getting mad at those differences, it's something you want to acknowledge and it's something you want to embrace. That doesn't mean you need to change who you are for these other people, but it means that you need to be conscious about where you are and just realize that how people act in a certain country is just a part of their way of life and how they function. And instead of, like I said, instead of getting frustrated at that, try to do your best to embrace the culture and be observant and just be happy at the new experience instead of when some French guy tells you to leave and never come back to a slope, getting really mad and trying to get into a fight with him.
You are not welcome here.
You are not welcome here.
So we actually
never return.
Interestingly enough, there's a guy named Leo Taufer. I don't know how to pronounce his name.
Leo Taufer.
But he was having this downhill competition and it wasn't roped off. We had no indication of it.
We're with a basically a local.
We were with a local. He was like, yo, check out these 6 jumps they built for this competition. We saw no one going down and we're like, all right, sweet, let's go hit this jump. We hit the jump. Ashby messed up his funny bone / nerves. Oh, the nerve you have. Puns only. And this guy came down. He was a pro skier. He was sick. But he started yelling at us because apparently we were standing in the course, even though we weren't. Like, it was like a wide open course.
Yeah,
it made no sense. And he was screaming at us. He's like, you are not welcome here. Like, you must leave. Like, what are you doing? We're like, dude, like, we just thought this was an open run with some, like, jumps put on it. Like, we just want to hit these jumps. And it was so hard to take him seriously because he was in a clown costume. Like, here's this angry French guy in a clown costume yelling at us. We're like, okay, yeah, sorry. We just kind of skied down, and I talked to him afterwards. He's like, you're such a Jerry. So I was like, nah, we just saw these jumps that we really wanted to hit. And he was like, you're being so rude. And I was like, dude, you're yelling at us in a cloud costume. Like,
yeah.
That makes it kind of hard for us. Like, you weren't necessarily, quote-unquote, commanding authority looking like that.
Yeah.
You know, it's experiences. Experiences like that. It's like stuff you walk away with, and you're like, that's dope. I'll never forget that. I got yelled at by a pro French skier in a clown costume.
Amen. Yep. Amen.
All right. Third question. Let's round it out. What is something from your hometown that people value more than they do elsewhere?
Southern hospitality.
Yeah.
Manners, treating people, making them feel welcome. Like, really, in North Carolina, we live in Charlotte, so a big city, but all across North Carolina, especially if you're a foreigner and people notice that, they will, like, go out of their way, I think, to help you. Or
yeah,
at least,
think,
make
hey,
a little bit more
where
of
are
effort.
You from? Like, if someone seems like they're not from around here, as we say,
right.
It's not like to be like,
they're not from around here.
Yeah, like,
it's not like
they're
not welcome.
How's it going?
Here.
Like, where
yeah,
are you from?
Exactly. People are much more welcoming there than they are in Val-d'Isère
in
France. It's a bummer. Love French people, love French cuisine. Just don't like.
France is wasted on the French, as they say.
Yeah.
Is that really a saying?
In Europe, yeah.
Dark.
Dark.
Do you have anything to add to that, Ashby?
I think I'm just gonna viral 360 kickflip off that to say that
just kid skateboards if you haven't learned.
No, have y'all not seen that meme where it's like piggybacking off that, like on top of that, viral kickflip 360 off that.
No, I've not seen that meme.
Okay, well, it's a fantastic meme.
Like, you are deep cooked meme territory.
Oh yeah, I'm a deep fried meme kind of guy. Says it on my Tinder page.
Do you actually have a Tinder?
No comment. I plead the fifth.
I don't approve.
Yeah, no, I would.
This
just,
is not sponsored by Tinder.
Partially. I really agree with John there. I think that kind of Southern hospitality is a real thing, and it's something that, like most things, when you leave it, you miss it. And I'm very excited to see that again when I go home. And at the same time, I'm really excited that I kind of can live in that direct lifestyle a little more, like it's in Spain, like in France. But I do miss Southern hospitality and I miss Southern barbecue. So, yeah.
Boom.
Boom.
Well, that's that.
Bang.
All right.
Pow.
Wickham Brothers. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you,
thanks for having us.
I had a blast. This was awesome.
Yeah.
Sick week. Sick episode.
Dude, check out Geneva. We're actually, right as we're ending the podcast, we're coming up on Geneva.
Coming
right
up
there.
On Geneves.
That is beautiful.
Is that Geneva?
Yeah. That's Geneva right there.
All right, guys. That wraps up the episode. I hope you enjoyed it. Like I said, had a heck of a ton of fun listening to this one and just thinking back on all the great times during that trip. One last shout out to the Wickham Brothers. That was a legendary trip. And yeah, I finally did it. Finally did this, guys. Okay, a couple announcements. Number one, I'm considering doing a couple more wrap-ups or maybe just one wrap-up episode. This would be solo. And just want to put down my thoughts in case anyone else is wondering or anybody else can relate to my kind of post-study abroad thoughts and feelings and what's going on in my head. So if you have any particular questions, anything specific, please reach out on Instagram would probably be best. But we have a Facebook page as well. Just search for Student Visa Podcast and you'll find us. So yeah, check it out. Reach out. Let us know. Let me know if there's any specific questions you have, but should be putting together a reflection podcast episode. I don't know when, but in the next future, that's when it'll happen in the next future. One more announcement is to give a shout out to a podcast that I recently started listening to. It's a relatively new podcast, but that would be Americans in Germany Drinking Whiskey. These guys, Jeff and Alex, are a couple of Americans that moved to Germany, like, I think about 10 years ago. They went at different times. But guys, if you're listening, really enjoyed checking out what you have to say about kind of the next step beyond just studying abroad, but actually moving to a different country. And Germany has been kind of on my radar. Had some really great friends from Germany and seem like they have some cool things going on in that country that interests me. So yeah, I've really enjoyed listening to that podcast. So other listeners, feel free to go check that out. If you're interested in just learning about Germany from an American's perspective, or especially if you're thinking about moving abroad, not just studying, but actually taking on the expat life. Alex and Jeff are a lot of fun to listen to and also give you some good, useful tidbits of information if you were going to make that move. So yeah, check it out. That's Americans in Germany Drinking Whiskey, and they're on pretty much every platform. So yeah. All right, guys. Thanks again for listening to this episode. It was a long one. We're approaching 1 hour total, which is unheard of for a student visa, but you know, records have to be set. And this is one of those. So thanks for tuning in, and you'll catch us on another episode. Like I said, let me know if you have any particular questions. Reach out. I love getting feedback and hearing from y'all. So yeah, with that, enjoy your Easter weekend, however you are celebrating, and we'll catch you on the next one.
Do you know what hotel we're going to?
Check mom's email. That can be an outtake.
Yeah.
Do you ever check do outtakes for these?
No, I
don't. You should do an outtake compilation.
Yeah.
How do you say it? Compilation.
Compilation.